Melissa Martin, City Clerk, joined by Mary Sponholz, Deputy City Clerk.
Warren Frace, Community Development Director.
City Building Official.
Chris Hewat, City Manager.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
Thank you. Moving on to presentations, if I can have Rabbi Amir Gordon join me up front. City of Paso Robles, Proclamation Education and Sharing Day, Sunday, March 29th, 2026. Whereas the basis of our continuity of any society is education, and in the City of Paso Robles, the education of our youth is a priority. And whereas a global spiritual leader, Rabbi Menachem Shearson, of righteous memory, stressed that a moral and ethical education is crucial to forming and strengthening the good character of our youth, and can nurture the unity and diverse peoples through encouraging increased acts of goodness and kindness. Imbued with the awareness that even a single positive act of individual can change the world and usher a new era of global peace. And whereas March 29, 2026 will mark 124 years since the Rebbe's birth, Education and Sharing Day is observed every year on the Rebbe's birthday in recognition of his outstanding and lasting contributions towards the improvement of education, morality, and the acts of charity around the world. A day to pause and reflect on our responsibility to ensure our youth have the foundation necessary to lead their lives rich in purpose, fulfillment through good works and service. Now therefore let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of authority vested me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim Sunday, March 29, 2026 to be Education and Sharing Day in the City of Paso Robles and call upon everyone to work together to create a better, brighter, and more promising future for all. Rabbi, would you like to
just add some background to that? So first of all, thank you. And I want to thank Mayor Hammond and the entire City Council for recognizing Sunday, March 29th, as Education and Sharing Day here in Paso Robles. Education and Sharing Day, as we heard, is observed each year on the birthday of the Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory. The Rebbe was a global Jewish leader and educator whose vision inspired a worldwide network of Chabad centers dedicated to strengthening education, community, and acts of kindness. His impact is felt here locally as well through our Chabad in Paso Robles and the work we do with the community and with the youth. From his early childhood, the Rebbe envisioned a world of peace and tranquility and emphasized how one good action, spoken word, or thought can tip the scales to usher in this reality. In 1950, he assumed the leadership of the Chabad Lubavitch movement and began building what would become a worldwide network of educational, social, and humanitarian programs. But perhaps most remarkable was his message that education must be more than transmission of knowledge, it must also shape character. The Rebbe often emphasized that education should not only teach young people how to make a living, but how to live. Alongside academics, education should help cultivate responsibility, kindness, honesty, and respect for others. The Rebbe taught that when education includes these values, students begin to understand that their choices matter, that even small actions can influence the people around them and the kind of world we live in. Education and Sharing Day reminds us that the goal of education is not only to prepare students for careers, but also to inspire people to contribute positively to their communities and to the world around them. One of the Rebbe's well-known teachings was that even a single act of goodness and kindness can have a profound impact on the world. Small actions, done consistently, shape not only our communities, but also our character. Education and Sharing Day is a moment for each of us to reflect on that idea, to ask what we can do in our homes, workplaces, and communities to encourage more acts of goodness. Goodness, kindness, and responsibility towards others. To help put that idea to practice and to keep it front and center throughout the year, I brought a small gift for each of you today. It's called an ARC, which stands for Acts of Routine Kindness. It also looks a little like an ark, the ark that saved Noah and his family when the world had lost its moral compass. The idea is very simple. Keep this ark in your home or office, place a small coin into it regularly, and when it's full, give it to someone in need or to a charity of your choice. It helps us exercise what I like to call the giving muscle and reminds us that even small acts of kindness done consistently can help shape a kinder, brighter, and better world. Thank you.
Rabbi, here you go. Is that guy with you?
You bet.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, moving on, we have item two on presentations, airport update. Airport manager Mark Scandalis. Mark.
Happy to be up here. Haven't been here in a while. Happy to come give some updates on some of the things you authorized and we've been working on. So first, we'll talk a little about spaceport operations. As you know, at the joint meeting, you guys authorized staff to go out to RFP to finish the license application, find a consultant to help us do that. We've formed an internal working group. We've reached out to some of our contacts to help us write that RFP. And we hope to have that out in the next 30 days or so and start interviewing candidates after that. What that'll do for us is allow us to do launch operations off of our runway using the airfield. But right now, we can continue to do ground operations. So that's engine testing. That happens at all spaceports and a lot at normal airports, just regular engine run-ups and testing of aircraft. So that photo right there on the right-hand side, right in the center of it, you can see a tiny flame. That is a rocket engine. That's about five pounds of thrust. So think of 5 pound weight in your hand. That's all the thrust it produces. There's a whole lot of plumbing and piping to get that going, but that's what we're doing in Paso Robles. So an acronym I want you to get in your head that myself and Dr. Kurt Corvin from Cal Poly kind of came up with was RJETS, Rocket and Jet Engine Test Site. So we have one developed at the airport here. It's on the left-hand side. It's essentially a big dirt lot that provides a lot of clearance. If anything goes wrong, people are outside of that bubble. Nobody gets hurt. We have two engine test sites cited in our spaceport paperwork, and we're working to get a third one on board because the demand is there. Here is Cal Poly, who's at the engine test site. They're actually here tonight. They've been here all day. They've been here all month, actually, every weekend, working on their engine. They're really happy to be out here because on campus they don't have a site to do it that's not indoors. For obvious reasons, we want to get them outdoors, get a little factors of safety for them. They're very excited. They're giving us feedback on the kinds of equipment we should have out there for our industrial customers, and it's working out really well with Cal Poly. And you can tell that they're students because right in the middle, top center there, they brought their own microwave with their own ramen lunch. So. And that's our unofficial mascot on the top right. Next project I want to talk about is our security updates. May 2025, we authorized a security plan for the airport. We've done a number of things. First was signage. So every gate now and every access point has a restricted access sign. They all have names on them. They all have phone numbers on them, call for access. So now if UPS shows up at the Buena Vista gate, they can call, say we're there. Airport operations can escort them in, and we can do that a lot quicker. Physical security in-house, we've been installing a lot of T-post and wire fence on the rural side of the airport. What that does is control a little bit of wildlife. It also keeps trash and tumbleweeds and things from blowing onto the runways. And then we've installed Knox boxes at each vehicle gate. So what that is an emergency service box. They can put their key in. They don't have to fumble around with calling anyone or putting in codes. They put the key in immediately, get to work. Ongoing, we in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a fence contractor on site to install 600 new feet of 6-foot tall chain link fence, like you'd see at any airport, and change one of our manual gates and do an electronic gate. Phase two of that project, we're going to be budgeting for in the upcoming budget cycle. The first phase is for the west side of the airport, and we're going to do the south side of the airport. As part of that security study, we want to improve internet connectivity at the airport so that each of those gate accesses can be controlled remotely. We could potentially have a camera on them, badging systems down the line. First step was getting internet across the airport. What you see here is a modeling of what we believe the internet access will be covered over the airport. The colors are kind of mixed in there together, but I can assure you that yellow is still very good. The holes are shaded because there's a building or a tree there. But over the entire airport, we're getting good coverage there. So what that is taking the existing fiber internet that comes into the terminal, turning it into a 5G signal using citizen band radios that we put on top of the terminal and broadcasting it out. It's not a Wi-Fi network, but it's essentially a very large Wi-Fi network. Next project's logo development. So you authorized us to go forward with that. We had a public meeting on February 12th, well attended, got some good ideas there. Consultants had a few games that actually like brought out people's ideas, and we were able to compare different logos that are existing and see what we liked, what we didn't like. Here are some initial concepts and themes that came out of that session. So four main themes: landscape and vineyards, space, oak trees, and typeface or letter forms. These are obviously the first drafts of what's going on. We would come back with full renderings, color renderings. The idea is to bring, at the next Airport Commission meeting, 3 to 5 ideas that they could forward on to the council for consideration. And lastly, I'd like to talk about our FAA grant program. We do have two open grants right now. One is a master plan grant, and one is a taxiway reconstruction. And then I do have a pending terminal remodel grant. So first, the master plan grant. We've done 4 of 6 chapters on that. We've had 3 public meetings. Our next public meeting is next month on the 22nd, 5:30 in the airport terminal. with the master plan, I'm excited about it because there's a few areas that we've never envisioned before. New taxiways, new geometry that'll open up new acreage for aeronautical and non-aeronautical development. And we've reached a major milestone with the FAA approving our forecasts. So that's what we expect our aviation growth to happen over the next 20 years. FAA has to agree with us. We can't be out of bounds. They have agreed. Next grant is a taxiway alpha reconstruction. In our 2023 pavement management plan, this was identified as a substandard section, not able to hold full weight of large aircraft that we routinely see. So we were able to take that information to the FAA, get a design grant to design that project. And in the following year, 27, we should be getting a construction grant to rebuild that. Once that's done, we can handle everything CAL FIRE can throw at it. The US military, the Brits, will have a full strength taxiway section. And lastly, I'd like to talk about this airport terminal remodel project. So this is something the City Council authorized staff to start doing. We did start doing that, and in that time, the FAA released a notice of funding opportunity, which are these small windows that say, apply for this, we have extra money. So it was about a month long. Luckily, we already had a head start. We were designing this, and we were able to put together a grant application, not a grant that we got yet, but an application for $1.4 million to cover the cost. If we don't get a grant, we're going to be planning in the next budget cycles to pay for it as we can out of the Airport Enterprise Fund. So maybe monument sign this year, interior, exterior, you know, it'd be phased. But this largely is a new monument sign for the airport, and then refreshments to the exterior and interior of the terminal. So I'm going to drive you from the monument sign as if you're going through the terminal and getting on a plane and leaving. So that's the view that we're going to take here. So this is our existing monument sign. It's in good shape. It was built in the 80s, but it's on the wrong road. You have to go past the entrance to the terminal to see the monument sign. It's on Raleigh Gates. The entrance to the terminal is on Wingway, one street to the south. So we need to have a monument sign that's in the correct spot. Here is a rendering of what it could look like. Admittedly, the artists went heavy on the landscaping, but that's what it could look like. It's kind of a wing-shaped monument that points you in the direction of the terminal and the airport. It's able to be seen from both the northbound and southbound lanes of Airport Road. And internally, we're talking about making that an actual wing. So imagine like a polished aluminum from a DC-3 or an Electra or something like that, an actual wing. I think that would work well. As we come up to the terminal, here's what a new terminal building could look like. Of course, what you're seeing here is a new paint scheme. Both the roof and the building itself. You can see we removed the wall that's to the south of the terminal, kind of opens it up, gives a little more public space there. And then you can see the tower, which is actually the elevator shaft. That is, we wanted to bring an idea that Paso Robles is kind of becoming famous for, and that is light as art. So we have Sensorio, we have downtown, we have Sensorio coming downtown. So we thought, why don't we bring it out to the airport? So I'll show you some renderings what that looks like. But that is a perforated metal cladding set off the building about 6 inches. And we'd be able to put lighting behind it. So what could that look like on a day like today? There you go, St. Patrick's Day. That's what it could look like. Of course, 4th of July, we would be looking at Barney Schwartz and celebrating along with them. And of course, holidays, Christmas theme. So a lot of things we can do with that tower there. As you walk into the lobby, you can see, of course, updated color scheme, furniture, seating options. A few things to note here. Under the stairs, right now it's open. We've closed that off, turned it into a janitor's closet. We do need some more room in the terminal, so that helps us out. And then as you're walking closer to the air side, you go left to Joe's Restaurant, right to Lloyd's Aviation. At that point, there's a perforated wall there, bringing that element from the perforated metal inside to the terminal. And that gives a little privacy between just the entrance to the terminal and where you have seating if you're waiting for a flight or your pilot taking a rest between legs of your flight. Behind that wall, that's what this could look like here. Additional seating, cabinetry. Something that's not shown well here is right in the middle. Instead of having windows there, it'd be two doors that open just like the front of the terminal. So you have a flow straight through the terminal. And you can see that from this side. This is the air side. So you can see those double doors in the bottom there. We have a vestibule which matches the other side of the terminal. We have updated hardscape and landscaping, and then a 6-foot blast wall goes in between the interface between the air side and land side. That really opens up the outside for a public space. Joe's could serve meals out there, kids could be looking at planes, and we have added level of security, and also you're not getting peppered with rocks as a plane turns. So that's the presentation I have tonight, and happy to take any questions you have. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Questions on this side? Over here.
Not so much a question, but just an observation. After the joint meeting that we had, lots of public comment. So just to sum it all up, thank you. You guys are doing a great job. Appreciate the update tonight. That looks exciting. People are expecting a lot out of the airport, the spaceport, so thank you for all your efforts so far.
Yeah, Mark, I had a question on that screening behind in the terminal there. Is that essentially going to be the pilot's lounge then? Or because I thought we were, when we were going to add on to the terminal, I thought we were going to have a separate area over on the south side.
Yeah, you're correct. It would, there's going to be a new separate area with Lloyd's expansion to the terminal. But for right now, that's what we have. So we just put a barrier. And
so this is in addition. This is in addition to what Lloyd's is proposing.
Yeah, later. And we're going ahead of the Lloyd's project, so they get to match what the city desires on the look.
Any time frame on that for Lloyd's?
Lloyd's, I don't know, but the terminal grant, where FAA told me I would know in the next month or two.
Hmm. And is that for design drawings or is that for construction?
That's also construction. So,
yeah.
So we have a major advantage because we did the design ourselves.
Right.
Generally, people show up to the FAA and say, can I have money for design? But we had already finished the design, so we made it through San Francisco's office, and it's with the region, the Western Pacific region, for consideration now.
Okay, great. Yeah, Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, Mark, could you show us where the runway work is going to happen on the airport?
Taxiway work.
Taxiway?
Yeah.
So it's all the taxiway then?
No.
It's one section of the taxiway, about 2,000 feet of this taxiway. So top of that map in red.
It's hard to see, but that's the very north end. The first.
So that'll be able to take all the large aircraft now?
Yeah. Long term, it can handle them now, but it will deteriorate over time.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know what happened here.
Yeah, the pointer. Come back again if you can on that.
Quit working. Go to the taxiway.
So it's that first one right at the top coming right towards CDF off of 19, right?
Correct.
Yeah, Alpha.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No more from council. Anybody on the public wishing to have a question here on this item? Welcome.
Check. Oh, sorry. Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I actually have a couple of questions, Mark. I am not going to profess to know anything about the airport. It's not my lane or anything I do. I like to have 2 feet on the ground. I have two questions on the lights. We're getting very lighty around here in Paso. Sensario, I wasn't here when you guys did all the design and stuff. Does that mean Sensario is paying for those lights? And you know, with the strain of electricity in California, I would like to know what kind of strain that's going to put. I'm assuming the airport pays for that, those lights. And then in the design, I'm not sure if there were a lot a way for Ubers in, you know, a zone. That's the word, zone. Like you see at BART train and other airports. If we're going to grow, are we going to have those things? And then the last thing would be, it would be advantageous to have a gift shop at the airport. Thank you.
Thank you. Dale, welcome.
Yes, as I said at the joint meeting, Ben Reddick in the 80s said the airport was the future of Paso Robles. I agree then and now. And it's going to be nice that Sensorion didn't pull out. One time they were thinking of it. Because those airplanes coming into land, they got a beautiful sight of Sensorion, don't they?
Very good. Thank you. Anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. Mark, there was one question about the lighting and the power. I think they're LEDs. They don't really run anything at all, really.
Yeah, we're expecting them to be LED, low power, and it would be funded through the airport fund. We're separate from the general fund.
Okay. And then any room for any kind of a gift shop or anything? That terminal is so small as it is in the middle there, I doubt that we're going to be able to have any room for that, but that was what
Once we get a logo, I'd love to sell hats and shirts and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Pro Tem Gregory?
Mark, and then the airport's all on solar, right?
The power's offset, yeah.
Right, got it. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Item three, we have revitalization recommendation from the Planning Commission. Warren Frace, you have that item, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Warren Frace, Community Development Director. This is a presentation on a recommendation that's coming forth from the city's Planning Commission. It's in regards to Norma's Alley. So, middle of last year, the Planning Commission asked staff to put together a status report on kind of the history of city efforts to improve or revitalize Norma's Alley. So that presentation was made to the Planning Commission on December 9th. At the conclusion of that item, the Planning Commission provided a recommendation to the City Council that they would recommend that the Council create an ad hoc task force, basically to look into options to revitalize Norma's Alley, and we'll get to the details of that at the end of the presentation. But we'll start with what the Planning Commission reviewed. So a little bit of history. Norma's Alley is basically between 13th Park and Pine Streets. It's strategically right in the middle of the historic core of the downtown. That colored map, that's what we call a Sandborg map. Those are old insurance maps from 100 years ago, but they basically show, you know, what buildings looked like 100 years ago. But you can see that block, Norma's Alleys, existed there, enclosed by buildings in the center of town for over 100 years. The city has considered a number of different kind of improvement projects and upgrades to Norma's Alley over the last couple of years. None of those actually have come to fruition, and currently there are no projects currently planned on Norma's Alley. So back in 2016, the city and Main Street sponsored kind of a joint effort to look at projects to enhance the downtown. You can see that list on the screen. Those were all the community members that were involved in the process. They looked at a number of different opportunity areas in the downtown. One of the key areas identified was the issue with trash storage on Norma's Alley. The council had allocated $217,000 for these downtown projects. Of that, $84,000 was allocated for Norma's Alley trash cleanup. That project was never funded or completed. 2019, we had a planning intern, Mitchell Spencer, working with the planning department. He was looking for a senior project, so we suggested he look at, you know, possible revitalization projects for Norma's Alley. He ended up putting together quite a senior project, basically kind of a 68-page history and options for alley revitalizations. He looked at case studies kind of around the country, came up with a lot of ideas that kind of, you can see some of the details here of things you could do on Norma's Alley, which basically I think confirmed what everybody knew, is that there's a lot of options and opportunities there. In 2022, by 2022, we had actually had a couple restaurants and businesses open up on Norma's Alley. As we increased the number of businesses, there was issues with signage and identification for those businesses. They did approach the city asking for additional signage, directional signage, that sort of thing. We did do a little bit of work just kind of brainstorming some ideas. At this point, no additional signage has been provided for Norma's Alley. Also in 2022, a local artist, Dale Evers, worked with a number of the property owners around there, like Nick Tompkins, to fund an arch for Norma's Alley. So that was 100% private effort that was installed and basically kind of created, you know, a really nice entry feature there on Pine Street into Norma's Alley. Kathy Benelli, she was part of the original 2016 Downtown Action Plan. She was always very interested in Norma's Alley. She ended up actually putting together her own kind of set of recommendations. These were submitted to the city and city council in 2022, but she suggested a number of ideas for Norma's Alley, and This was during the preparation of the Economic Development Strategic Plan, and a number of these ideas ended up being incorporated into the Economic Development Strategic Plan, which the council adopted in 2024. One of those key programs is downtown placemaking, and one of those programs would be activating key alleys in the downtown zone. So you can, this exhibit is straight out of the Economic Development Strategic Plan, but Norma's Alley was identified as a key feature that the city should invest in beautification and placemaking. And then let's see, moving on. Also in 2024, the Planning Commission officially named Norma's Alley. Norma's Alley, before that, it was officially an unnamed alley. So that was officially done December 10th of 2024. So that basically concluded the summary that we provided to the Planning Commission of just efforts involving Norma's Alley. So at the conclusion, their recommendation to the council was that the council should consider creating an ad hoc task force consisting of both commissioners and city council members, and that they would basically kind of have a three-step mission. One would be to gather public input from the general community as well as the businesses and stakeholders around Norma's Alley. The second would be to identify quick fixes, maintenance repair projects that could be done fairly quickly and easily to improve safety and maintenance issues within the alley. And then thirdly, to identify a long-term improvement and funding strategy for Norma's Alley. So that'll conclude the report, but this is the recommendation from the Planning Commission. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Warren. Questions on my right? Mr. Bausch.
Thank you. Warren, on this slide here, I appreciate the inclusion of the T section going out to 13th Street. I think that's important. In past discussions, at least some of the ones I've been included with, sometimes that's included, sometimes it's not, but there's a lot of garbage collection issues and grease traps, things like that. So very important to maintain that going forward if we can make that happen. But yeah, good recap.
Okay. Good. You have any questions? Steve?
Yeah. So Warren, currently we have the Cal Poly study, and
yes,
then we have some of the ideas from Kathy Benelli, which have already been introduced, so to speak. So how would the ad hoc work? Can you explain that? What would you want them to do?
I think the way the commission envisioned it, it would start with kind of a public outreach process. And I do believe that a lot of the information that we are currently have from the senior project and some of the other efforts that we did, you know, provide a good basis just to, you know, talk to with the public about ideas and then gather those up. And I think based on that, they were hoping that it would be clear what, you know, short-term maintenance fixes should be prioritized. And then ultimately, you know, some sort of an improvement plan involving a consultant to actually come up with a, you know, a design plan that could then be, you know, funded for improvement.
And there's a photograph of pavers in the alley. Is that what an idea or
what picture?
One of the original photographs has a pavers in the alley. Look pretty nice.
Oh, pavers in the alley. Yeah, I think, you know, Mitchell's project included different surface coverings, pervious pavers, still would allow for vehicle access, but give it kind of a different, more pedestrian character at the same time.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Beal.
Thank you for the presentation. I think the timing of this is interesting. There's already been so much work that has gone into this, and the way that it connects with the Economic Development Strategic Plan, sort of our vision for connecting different spaces now that the railroad parking lot is complete. I think there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of momentum around this, and I know we can't vote on it tonight, but I would certainly be open to agendizing the formation of an ad hoc.
Well, I think, Chris, can't we go ahead and make appointments?
Mayor, it's on your agenda tonight as an informational item only, so there's no request for direction. What I would recommend to you, if you would, we're beginning our goals discussion for the upcoming budget cycle next meeting. If this is something that rises to this body's priority list and you'd like to include that as part of your goals to advance this, then we can then use that as direction as we put together the budget for the upcoming two-year budget cycle. And then at some point between now and when we adopt the budget, you could form the ad hocs. So that would be my recommendation.
So I had a question, Warren. I mean, is it specific to Norma's alley?
No.
Or could it be, you know, like going on through on the west side of Park? We have an alleyway there. We also have another alleyway over behind. There's, I guess, east of our city hall. Those kind of alleys, I mean, if we're going to get into this, we could actually make a kind of generalized policy on how we'd like to handle these kind of things.
Yeah, definitely the council could expand the program as, you know, widely as they see fit.
Yeah, okay. Councilman Strong.
Yes, thank you. One of the things that occurred to me is, did they look into what possible funding sources they could use? Because alleys are, by state law, specifically excluded from any street funds. So we could not use any of money designated for streets to do the alley. So did they come up with any ideas as to possible funding?
No, I think that would be, you know, one of the recommendations that the ad hoc committee would look at funding.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, Chris Balch.
Thank you. Mr. Hewitt, just back to your point about including this in our long-term goals. I think the initial goal will be to form the ad hoc committee. Short of any ideas on how to pay for it, as Councilmember Strong and Warren just pointed out, I think bringing it forward as an ad hoc committee at this point is an excellent idea, but committing any additional funds, that would be problematic.
Yeah, we are happy to do that. I think it's just a matter of how we want to prioritize resources, both staff-wise and otherwise, and want to make sure that the council's aligned and wanting to move it forward, so we can do that.
I think moving forward, you know, an ad hoc would certainly make a conglomerated policy on how the council would like to see this moving forward, and as projects come up, then we could, of course, figure out how to fund those, but okay, I'll, sure, Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, I just want to make one more comment. And I, you know, we do a really good job of our streets and parks here in Paso Robles, and it's really important. I've seen a lot of very walkable and nice alleys and around my travels around California, and there's no reason we can't have Norma's Alley and some of the other alleys be more walkable and presentable, because people use them all the time. Let's just make them look good. I think it's a good idea.
Especially in our downtown core.
Especially downtown. We could do a little perimeter.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and open up the public. Anybody wishing to make a comment on this item, please come forward.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I absolutely want to see this happen. I worked for local assistance, Caltrans, for 2 years in Oakland. And there is where I learned where all the good tax, gas tax money, federal money comes in, as you know, Mr. Strong. There are, I know when I lived in Union City, we got Caltrans money to beautify the alley where the gangs were coming through every day. So the city, Union City, was able to put in trees and beautify it. Then the Cox Project, I worked with them. It's not just here, wherever I live. So I worked with the Cops Project in Union City, which we got rid of all the gangs in that alley. And they started a graffiti program where they would go in and tag, the cops would, tag the opposite gang, and then sit there and wait for the people to come. Well, we called them buto marks when we were kids to cross it out. So anyways, there is Clean California, alley beautification. There's all kinds of different monies that Caltrans gives for exactly that. What I would really love to see in Norma's Alley is the street paved with markings like in front of JJ's. I'm in San Jose again. Jeffrey's Wine, like even if it said the name or something like that. My sister came for the first time a few months back, and she was really impressed with how clean our city is. I had a friend come from Hollister
very impressed on how clean our city is, especially our downtown. So if we make that like a real, that's where I'd like to see some lights, you know, very, very beautiful. That's going to be a main attraction for Paso. So that's my input for that. I would love to see Norma honored the way that she deserves to be. Thank you.
Dale, welcome.
Good evening. Happy St. Patrick's Day. My hat's the only green item I got. So anyway, as you know, I'm a lifetime board member of Main Street, and Dale Gustin is the name, and we have four units on the alley that are addressed on the alley, and including the Main Street office, of course. And that's, of course, why it was named Norma's Alley. The pavers look real nice in front of the theater. So I think something like that, if we could make that alley look like a walking street like they did over there in front of the theater, and yet still be drivable, it would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like to see this go forward. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
What up, City Council? Sawyer Sackett, 510 9th Street here in Paso. I have worked at no less than three restaurants that led out into the back of Norma's Alley. And it is for sure one of the grossest parts of downtown. From grease traps to carrying giant black trash bags with stuff slopping onto the ground. Like, it is for sure one of the least hygienic parts of downtown. And being a half block off of our main downtown square, I mean, that thing is frequented all the time, whether you have people getting out of like Fish Gaucho or now Parketo, walking down that alley towards Pine Street or whatever it is. It is an incredibly well-trafficked area. I think a lot of the City Council was very receptive to some sort of revitalization project there. And as someone who has traversed that alley more times than I care to count, yeah, I think it would be very cool emphasizing a more pedestrian-friendly walking area, something that isn't, I mean, whether you're putting up some sort of barriers with some semi-permanence to block all of those dumpsters and grease traps, like, that is one of the more important parts to kind of beautify our downtown. Just from, like, a working in restaurants perspective, that is that'd be so cool to see, like, on your walk to work, like, you know, you have this nice little corridor to walk through. But, yeah.
Great, thank you. Margaret, welcome.
Good evening, City Council, Mayor, and staff. My name is Margaret Holstein. I'm 1225 Spanish Camp Road, Paso Robles, and I'm chair now of downtown Paso Robles, downtown Main Street. So thank you for looking at this. Chris Beal, when you were at one of our meetings, when they're doing all the parking lots, I thought they were going to include the alley, and I was kind of disappointed, but I'm so excited that you guys are bringing this forward and looking at it, and I'd like to have it done sooner than later. That's my thing, but I realize the funding has to be acquired for it. But the main thing is, I go in the alley since Norma passed away. I've been in Main Street every single day, and the trash and the grease traps and all that stuff there, it gets a little, right now probably during the summer, it gets really not very nice. So would you have some plans, or are you going to look with your ad hoc committee how you're going to do all that? So another suggestion is look at downtown Pasadena. Downtown Pasadena fixed all their alleys. I was there with Bob Latta when I was on the Planning Commission, and it was amazing what they did to their alleys there in Pasadena. I would suggest it's a good reference point for you see what they did. Some of the alleys back then in Pasadena, they actually had donors, and there was plaques as you went down the alley because they donated money to fix those alleys. I'm not saying that can happen here, but that's some of the funding they got from. And back then, they had parking meters, and that was another funding at that time for Pasadena. So there are different ways. I'm just kind of getting myself back into downtown and Paso Robles downtown Main Street, and I'm very blessed to be here. And we're moving forward, and we're excited about Main Street. We've got some great things happening, and it's just been a really treat, and I'm really blessed that they picked me again to be president of Main Street. But please look at Pasadena. It really is a good reference point. They did a great job, and thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Welcome.
So it appears that everybody else eloquently brought up every subject that I was going to bring up, so I really don't know what to say. Short of
Your name, sir, real quick.
My name is Raymond Smith. I'm a business owner downtown Paso Robles.
And
been here for more than 30 years. I've seen this town grow, and I've seen that alley change. There's a significant amount of more traffic, in that alley than before. With respect to the ad hoc, maybe they should consider one of the first things they should do is, one, take a look at that alley and the condition that the roads are in, and look at it from a safety perspective, if not only just a beautification. And then not only that, find some kind of way to monitor the amount of traffic. Even the GPS systems that show you where to drive in Paso Robles if you've never been there. If you leave the Paso Robles Inn and you're going to the Hatch restaurant, it doesn't take you to 13th to make it right. It takes you through that alley. And someone who has never been here before, really, who would be walking around in the evening because they're going to dinner, there are some places that are not safe to be walking around. And not only that, you have your children and the beautification. With respect to Norma, we ought to really consider making that a decent place. And that's about all. Like I said, they brought up all of my subjects, man. I had a ton to say, and I can't think of anything else to say. Yeah. So
I didn't know Norma was into GPS coordinates. She probably programmed it that way.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, part of the Main Street Association's responsibility is part, you know, to bring alternative businesses and the beautification of the area. So from that perspective, being a volunteer, that's the only thing I could think of is to, you know, one, make it safe for us to walk around in that area, because unlike some of the other alleys, this is the only one that I think storefront businesses are, which drive a lot more traffic there. So I think we should probably focus on looking at the amount of traffic that has changed significantly since back in the 80s when I moved here, and then the condition that it's been in and how we can make it safer for other people to walk around and welcome to our beautiful city everywhere. So, yeah. Thank you.
Good comment. Thank you. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, Mayor, Council members. My name is Jeffrey Wiesinger. I'm here representing two major stakeholders in Norma's Alley as the owner of Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue and the interim executive director of the Main Street Association. I'm here to ask the council to prioritize and invest in revitalizing Norma's Alley in downtown Paso Robles, a recommendation already supported by the Planning Commission, the Paso Robles Main Street Association, and the small businesses that have helped establish Norma's Alley as a major destination point in our city. Norma's Alley is more than just a back alley. It's a passageway. It's a connector between businesses and a place where visitors and community members engage with one another. Right now, it's in terribly poor condition, as we all know, and we're missing an opportunity to contribute to our downtown's vibrancy. We believe that a modest, well-planned investment will deliver incredible returns for our local businesses and for Paso Robles as a image of a welcoming, walkable destination while improving the overall downtown safety and walkability of our community. First, we believe the economic case is strong. Revitalizing efforts such as improved paving, trash management, improved lighting and signage, landscaping, and space for outdoor seating and small events will increase foot traffic and provide for a more enjoyable experience. These improvements will directly benefit not only the businesses and nearby storefronts in the alley, but locals and visitors. The Main Street Association, Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue, Indigenous Cellars have made it clear that we will leverage and revitalize, we will leverage a revitalization effort to expand our outdoor services, host events, and attract customers who otherwise might bypass our downtown. And as we know, more customers mean more revenue, more sales tax, and a stronger, you know, stronger downtown economy. As Raymond had mentioned, the public safety and accessibility of the area is extremely important. Better lighting and clear accessible walkways will reduce the perception of an unsafe area and will only add to the vibrancy of our downtown district. These are these basic investments that make residents and visitors feel more comfortable walking downtown at any hour. And it can seem, even with our storefronts, it can seem a little, quite unsafe down in that area at night. The alley, I believe, presents a low-cost, high-visibility opportunity to reinforce Paso Robles' sense of place. Thoughtful design, local art, heritage signs and plantings celebrate our community's character and give visitors more memorable moments that encourage social media sharing and return visits. It's the small human scale projects like this that we believe distinguishes downtown, our downtown, from other areas. So I think we're all in general consensus, but concept for a ad hoc committee, if there's any opportunities for involvement with Main Street, we would be extremely happy to be a part of it, as well as private businesses. But we hope you take this up.
Very good. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone online?
Yes, Michael Rivera.
Okay. Michael, go ahead. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, Mayor. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I think that the comments made are great. There's been a lot of great points made. I also highly believe that this improvement would be great for the downtown corridor. I think that if you look at the areas from the going east across Pine Street and west, going across Park, there's two alleys there, and I think they should be brought under this umbrella as well. You also have a significant amount of support from the businesses and so forth, I would believe. And so I just support what everybody is saying on the positive side. And, there's places throughout, I haven't seen Pasadena's alleys, but I assume they're beautiful. So I would suggest we look at other areas that have had similar successes in that endeavor. And I would suggest that the city, if we're going to invest, let's invest in our business corridor, and this is the heart of that. And so I highly recommend that we pursue this and go down that path and bring in other areas, like, as I mentioned, across Springs, across Park Street, and across Pine Street, to include those alleys in the initial phases. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll bring it back to council. I know that a lot of people call it Norma's Way instead of Norma's Alley, and I think during the memorial I actually heard somebody say that they should have it on the west end of that alley or the highway, instead of leaving or the highway. It's kind of cute. Direction back to council. I think, again, we had enough discussion on forming an ad hoc. Has everybody got their preference on that? So we can give direction to the staff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with one other comment, too, and that is that even though, as I mentioned, that state funds don't include alleys, that doesn't mean that our local funds couldn't be designated to include alleys.
Well, it's going to have to. Yeah, right. We're on our own.
So and that's a significant funding source.
Yeah, I think it's important that we started including other alleyways, too. If nothing else, just to improve the actual asphalt, for safety and for walking, but a general policy that we can get into during the ad hoc about how we want to see alleyways too. So I think Seb has that. Chris.
Thank you. So having participated in one of these in the past, there are no shortage of really excellent ideas of what should be done. Some of the obstacles that present themselves, rights of way, locations of where proposed new trash receptacles, grease traps and whatnot, those are some of the stumbling blocks that will challenge.